$1,000. We'll get you signed up for a small, or not small, monthly donation that's easy and automated. Again, you can just go online to wgxc.org/donate or give us a call at 518-697-7400. You can mail us too at WGXCFM, care of Wave Farm, at P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. Here at Movies on the Radio, we're in. Hello, it's 7 p.m. on the second Thursday of the month here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. And that means it's time for another installment of Movies on the Radio. You're tuned in to our monthly showcase for the sounds of experimental cinema and experiments in sound from artists, filmmakers, and makers of all types in Columbia and Greene counties, and across the world. Right now, we're listening to a piece by Eric Satie, music composed for a 98-year-old experimental film directed by René Clair, Entr'acte. We'll have more to say about that in a bit. We'll be spending the evening listening in to selections of music from the experimental cinema. But first, as you might know,
you've searched me at any cost, but how long, babe? Can you search for what's not lost? Everybody will help you. Some people are very kind, but if I can save you any time, come on, give it to me. I keep it with mine. I can't help it if you might think I'm odd, if I say I'm not loving you for what you are, but for what you're not. Everybody. We'll be right back.
Hello. It's 7 p.m. on the second Thursday of the month here on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. And that means it's time for another installment of Movies on the Radio. You're tuned in to our monthly showcase for the sounds of experimental cinema and experiments in sound from artists, filmmakers, and makers of all types in Columbia and Greene counties and across the world. Right now, we're listening to a piece by Eric Satie, music composed for a 98-year-old experimental film directed by René Clair, Entr'acte. We'll have more to say about that in a bit. We'll be spending the evening listening in to selections of music from the experimental cinema. But first, as you might know, we're in the middle of WGXE's Winter Sustaining Pledge Drive. We're appealing to you, dear listener, to help us reach our goal of $5,000 in monthly support by March 18th. Becoming a sustaining supporter is really easy. You can go online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can pledge by phone. Give us a call at 518-697-7400. We'll get you signed up for a small, or not small, monthly donation that's easy and automated. Again, you can just go online to wgxc.org/donate or give us a call at 518-697-7400. You can mail us too at WGXCFM, care of Wavefarm, at P.O. Box 13, ACRA, New York, 12405. Here at Movies on the Radio, we're interested in experimental media. We explore the history and state of the art of avant-garde film. We provide a showcase for the cinematic and sonic adventures of artists of all kinds. We interview local filmmakers. We even offer live simulcast soundtracks to our occasional 16mm film screenings at our outdoor microcinema in Philmont, New York. And we can only do all of this because of WGXC's public platform for creative radio, for community radio, for experimental radio. Listen, if you're listening to this show, if you're interested in things like experimental film, you know that it takes independent voices and independent institutions to make this kind of interesting art and interesting culture available and sustainable. Which is why it's so important to sustain institutions like WGXC. And it's really not hard, and it doesn't take a lot if we all pitch in. And that's why I'm making it my goal to sign up two new sustaining supporters this month. I know there are two people within the sound of my voice who can go online now to wgxc.org/donate and sign up to become a sustaining member there. Or you can give us a call, 518-697-7400, to become a sustaining member. Doesn't take much. $10, $5, $100. Whatever it's worth to you to keep an interesting, informative, intelligent, weird, wonderful radio station like WGXC on the air. I think I have a pretty fun show planned for us tonight. We're going to be listening in to the first instance of sound film in cinematic history. Not the jazz singer. We are going to be listening into the sounds created by painting on a film strip itself, music from light. Then we'll move on to check out what I believe is the first live performance of the Velvet Underground as captured by the avant-garde hero Jonas Mekas. That and more. It's not the kind of thing you're going to hear on Top 40 radio. I don't think it's the kind of thing you're going to hear on NPR. You can hear it here on WGXC, though. So come on, help WGXC keep doing what we're doing. Get out your phone, open up that computer. You just go online, wgxc.org/donate. Tell you what, I'll give you a minute. Meanwhile, we will keep listening in to Eric Satie's piece, Relâche, soundtrack composed for René Clair's film, Entr'acte. Thank you. The piece of audio we are going to hear now is the primordial, the inceptional moment of sound cinema. It's also an experimental film in the most literal sense of the word, truly a technical experiment. It's also a very short film, clocking in at just under 20 seconds, so the audio you're hearing now will be looped. Let me paint a picture for you. The image is black and white, of course, and the first thing you notice is that the microphone, or the recording source, is taking up about half the screen. It's an enormous phonographic cone into which a gentleman in a bowler hat is playing the fiddle. Next to him are two young men. They look like 19th century clerks, shirt sleeves, vests, and they are dancing arm in arm in a little round. It's really quite charming. So these fellows were employees at Thomas Edison's laboratory in West Orange, New Jersey. They were involved in the production of this film in 1894, 1895, we're not totally sure, as part of Edison's Kinetophone project, the first attempt in history to record sound and moving image in synchronization. The idea was pretty simple. You let the camera roll while also recording the sound onto one of Edison's phonographs, onto a wax cylinder. And this was more or less the method of a lot of early experiments with sound cinema. And it was a method that was often bedeviled by all kinds of technical problems, mostly having to do with the difficulties of syncing the camera's motor and the playback and recording speeds of sound recording technology at the time. Never really worked, and it would take several decades before optical soundtrack recording would be developed and workable to a point that movies began to talk and sing. Film historians had been aware of this particular piece of film, I think all along, but for the longest time, the sound recording, the wax cylinder, had gone missing. But in 1964, the cylinder was discovered, and in 1998, the folks at Lincoln Center were able to repair and restore the cylinder, allowing us to listen in to this very first experiment in cinema sound. I want to digress just a little bit here because Thomas Edison often gets credited with a lot of important landmarks in the very early history of the cinema, and some of that is due. This film itself is often referred to as the Edison Sound Experiment. But as I think it's pretty well documented at this point, Thomas Edison was often wont to take credit for inventions and innovations by the people in his employ. And in this film, we have an example of just that. Proper credit is due, in fact, to one William Kennedy Laurie Dixon, one of Edison's employees overseeing the Kinetophone project. W.K.L. Dixon is also, it turns out, the man playing the violin. So credit where credit's due. But while we are on the discussion of cinematic firsts and Thomas Edison, the great inventor can, in fact, lay claim to a more dubious distinction in the history of film, and that's committing the very first execution of an elephant by electricity to celluloid. That's right, in 1903, in a publicity stunt to demonstrate the superiority of his direct current over George Westinghouse's and Nikola Tesla's alternating current, Edison arranged to have an elephant by the name of Topsy from the Luna Park Zoo electrocuted to death using Tesla and Westinghouse's alternating current. And he put it all on film. You can see it. Yikes. And so, in conclusion, W.K.L. Dixon, undercredited inventor, poor Topsy, and Thomas Edison, kind of a jerk. I want us to move on now to our next film, and we'll continue to look at the technical aspects of sound on film. But before we do that, I want to remind you that it is WGXC's Winter Sustaining Pledge Drive. Did you go online? Did you give us a call to become a sustaining supporter? This hour, I want to get 2 sustaining supporters. We can do it. Go online to become a sustaining supporter. WGXC.org/donate. Call us to become a sustaining supporter. 518-697-7400. I'm a sustaining supporter. I bet you your neighbors are sustaining supporters. You can pledge as little as $5 a month. Go crunch the numbers here. That's 17 cents a day. 17 cents a day for WGXC and all the wonderful programming you can hear here on your local airwaves. Support us now at wgxc.org/donate or by giving us a call at 518-697-7400. It's Movies on the Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, and we are getting ready to listen in to our next film, Pinpoint Percussion, by Norman McLaren. Norman McLaren is a Scottish-born experimental filmmaker and animator, an Academy Award winner. He emigrated to Canada, where he was instrumental in getting the Canadian Film Board up and running in the mid-century. And he really made his mark as one of the premier filmmakers who worked by directly manipulating the physical substance of the film strip itself. Now, earlier I mentioned the optical soundtrack as the solution to all of the synchronization problems that bedeviled more primitive techniques, such as recording onto a phonograph. When sound is printed onto analog film, it's done using a process that prints the actual waveform of sonic vibrations along the very edge of the film strip, and this is then readable via projectors and transformed back into an audio signal. In Pinpoint Percussion, however, we'll hear how Norman McLaren used paint to paint onto the audio track section of a film strip so that rather than hearing sounds translated from waveforms, we're hearing the sounds generated through the precise geometric placement of marks like triangles and zigzags. The result is really exciting, really interesting, really anticipates a lot of early electronic music. So let's get right to Pinpoint Percussion, a film detailing the work of Norman McLaren from 1951.
Ever think what a sound looks like? An artist might picture it this way. But a musician sees it differently. The sound engineer has an oscilloscope to help him see sounds. Let's have a few notes on the guitar. And there's another way these notes can be seen. The vibrating strings set up vibrations in the air, which travel to the microphone. And then an electronic device translates them into vibrations of light. This narrow beam of light is photographed on movie film and gives you the soundtrack, which doesn't appear on the screen. But let's bring it out of hiding where we can see it. Come on. All right, now, give us that guitar again. So that's a picture of the guitar notes. Well, can you show us some other instrument? What else can you do? Not bad. Try again. You know, that's a mighty fine-looking voice. Wonder what you could do with my voice. Shall we try it? This is my voice. Hey, wait a minute. Let's hold that still and look at it again. So that's how my voice looks. Like every other sound, it has its own distinct pattern of light and dark running down the side of the film. Well, if a sound will make a pattern on film will make a sound. You can even create your own sounds by drawing directly on the film. Norman McLaren, the motion picture artist, has been making some hand-drawn sounds. And now he's going to hear them for the first time, played on the Moviola, a sort of miniature movie projector. It's not just guesswork. The sound of any of these patterns of lines can be calculated. The size controls the loudness. A row of small marks would sound like this. Larger marks, a louder sound. That's simple enough. Then there's the tone quality. It's controlled by the shape of the marks. This series of thin, straight lines gives a sharp, rather unpleasant sound. But these round dots are a bit smoother. The marks can be any shape you like. Now, how about this? Using the brush, Norman tries a row of small triangles. These sharp, angular forms, what would they sound like? The distance the lines are apart controls pitch. With the lines far apart, a low pitch note. A medium, and a high note. Now, what can they be used for, these hand-drawn sounds? Well, Norman McLaren finds that they are a perfectly natural accompaniment to some of his hand-drawn motion pictures. Each movement of the screen can have its own specially designed sound. Making movies this way, the artist has direct personal control at every stage of the film's production. Sound and picture are planned and closely related to each other as they are drawn. Now Norman is checking to make sure that each bit of sound is perfectly matched to its accompanying screen action. Finally, the picture and the sound will be printed together on one length of film, and color will be added during the process.
All right, a 1951 documentary detailing the work of experimental animator Norman McLaren with sound on film. I want to move next to the heady world of the New York counterculture in the 1960s and look at a piece of film and listen to a piece of film by Jonas Mekas. But before we do that, are you enjoying listening to these adventures in experimental sounds on WGXC? Help support us and sustain this kind of programming. You can go online and become a sustaining member at wgxc.org/donate, or you can do the same by giving us a call, 518-697-7400. It's really easy. It's automated, and you know you'll be supporting your favorite local radio station. Jonas Mekas was sort of a Zelig figure in the New York film world and countercultural world more broadly. He was friends with John Lennon and Stan Brakhage and Andy Warhol, and he worked primarily in a diaristic medium with his film work, recording the events of his daily life. It just so happened to be a very interesting one. This piece of film is drawn from a much bigger piece of work dedicated to the life of Andy Warhol, and in it, we get to hear the one-time pet project and seminal rock band of the 1960s, the Velvet Underground, performing what is putatively their very first live set. I'm not sure exactly how Mekas recorded the sound, and like sound usually is in his films, it's primitive, it's rough, but, you know, it kind of works for the Velvet Underground. And playing the Velvet Underground at the show gives me a chance to bring up the still, you know, newish Todd Haynes documentary on the band. And it's worth checking out if you're into the Velvet Underground, but it's also worth checking out for all the amazing footage he includes from the experimental filmmakers working in New York during the contemporary period of the Velvet Underground. So let's listen in now to a clip of Jonas Mekas's recording of the Velvet Underground.
So long, Andy. See you again. For sure.
Thank you.
All right, an early recording of The Velvet Underground as featured in the film work of Jonas Mekas. I want to stick now to New York in the 60s and stick with the Warhol connection to look at a film by Andy himself. In the 60s, Warhol was wont to have visitors to his factory sit for what he called screen tests. In these tests, people, often people like Lou Reed, would sit and have a single uncut close-up shot recorded of them that lasted the length of a 16mm film reel. Then in 2010, the musicians Dean and Britta composed 13 songs to match 13 of these Warhol screen tests. And I want to play for you now a piece called Anne Buchanan's Theme. It's a great little electropop piece. And here goes. Most beautiful songs for Andy Warhol's screen tests. I hope you're enjoying listening to Movies on the Radio here on WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. We are still in the middle of our winter pledge drive, looking for two, just two this hour, new sustaining supporters. You can become a sustaining supporter by going online to wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Okay, and for our next song, I want to take us back to a piece of music I actually played on the show last month. It's from the filmmaker and artist Michael Snow's recording, The Last LP. I've had this song stuck in my head. If you were listening last month, you might remember. The Last LP is a sort of satirical, fraudulent record purporting to be recordings of vanishing cultures. It, in fact, is nothing more than the artist Michael Snow himself deliberately manipulating, slowing up, speeding down, reversing tape loops of himself, distorting them so that they sound like strange, weird artifacts from distant cultures. This song's probably the weirdest one I'm going to play tonight. It's called Sinopo Da, and despite its weirdness, I find it infectiously catchy. So let's listen in to Sinopo Da from Canadian experimental filmmaker Michael Snow from his album The Last LP.
Yeah.
Sinopoda, indeed. That was Sinopoda by the Canadian experimental filmmaker and artist Michael Snow. We've got time, I think, for one more selection of music from the world of experimental cinema. But before we get to that, I want to remind you one more time. Go on over to wgxc.org/donate. That's where you can become a sustaining supporter for as little as $5 a month. We are really trying to get at least 2 new sustaining supporters today, and I hope you can help us do that. You can also give us a call if you don't feel like going online. 518-697-7400, and we'll get you all set up as a sustaining supporter that way. We need your help. It's so important to have your support so we can keep Creative Community Radio on the air. And coming up on the air next is the soundtrack to Kenneth Anger's film, The Puce Moment, from 1949. I should, in fact, say that this is the second soundtrack. When Anger originally released the film at the end of the 40s, I believe he scored it with some random classical music. When the film was re-released in the 60s, Anger chose 2 selections of, I don't know what to call it, music by Jonathan Halpern. Jonathan Halpern, who I can find nothing about anywhere other than these 2 songs. And the songs themselves are precocious. They sound more like kind of indie lo-fi rock of the 90s than they do anything from the 1960s. So have a listen and enjoy. And if you know anything about Jonathan Halpern, drop me a line. You can find Movies on the Radio on our Instagram page at the Philmont Media Project. We produce Movies on the Radio from the Purpose Makerspace in Philmont, New York. And we will be back with more Movies on the Radio next month at 7 p.m. the second Tuesday of that month and every month here on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm gonna learn to fly the clouds.
downstream. Here I make my home. There is no need for food. I can live off air alone. The birds bring me flowers and put them by my side. I live in another world, and that is why I hide. Yes, I am a hermit. My mind is not the same. Yes, I am a hermit, and ecstasy is my game. All of you chained to the world.